guys, welcome to episode 135 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, as ever, as reliable as time itself. How are you, mate?
Getting better, aren't we? Getting a bit more consistent now, considering last year was about,
Well, last year was all kind of new and fresh and babies and COVID life. And life's shite. So, yeah, at the end of the day, mate, we've got lives, and that's the thing, we've got to remember that. Sometimes I get kind of obsessed with it, and we do it because we enjoy it. There's no point in getting stressed about it. I still enjoy sitting here talking to you for an hour about MMA. You know, we probably wouldn't be friends if we didn't have the podcast, you know?
I think that's a bit of a stretch, for fuck's sake. Jesus, what a way to start. We're only here for MMA, that's it. We're done after that. Don't interest you at all.
Yeah, we don't talk all week at all, guys. No. We don't even message or anything. We kid all my pals, actually. I hate them.
Monday morning, then that's it. We're doing it at 4 o'clock. I'll do it at 4 o'clock. So that's what we speak all week.
Aye. See you then. How's your week been?
Not bad, mate. Plodded on as usual, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Nothing exciting.
It's that time of year, isn't it, mate? It's quiet. Everyone's kind of quiet this time of year.
It's her birthday next week, so hopefully things will start picking up next week and be a bit more entertaining.
So what are we doing next week? Valentine's Day next week?
That's out of the window. It doesn't exist anymore.
It does. It's our first as husband and wife, so I've got to make a wee effort, you know?
Together 10 years this year, 3 years married now. That's sad. Just on the path of life and marriage. So
yeah.
Anyway, let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the actual.
Let's do it. It's going to be busy. What's that?
Let's go on with what we're here for.
Yeah. Right. So follow the usual pattern, guys. Look back weekend. Look forward weekend. And then Mark will do the usual news and shite at the end. Any talking points throughout, you know what we're like, we'll just waffle on about anything and everything because, well, we can and it's our show and we'll do what the fuck we like.
Yep.
So, let's start with UFC Anthony Strickland from the Apex. Still love the wee octagon. I pure noticed it. I don't know how I pure noticed it on Saturday, but I proper noticed it. I was like, I love the smaller octagon. I wish they would keep it for all their events. I think it makes such a difference.
So much better, mate.
Yeah. Amazing. Also, this was headlined by Sean Strickland versus Jack Hermanson.
It wasn't boring, but it wasn't particularly entertaining either. I don't think it was the best performance from either guy. It was just a weird fight all round.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff going about, right? There's a lot of stuff going around and there's a lot of opinions about stuff, and I actually seen some guy actually losing his shit on Twitter that Saul D'Amato should actually be banned from all sports forever because it was a shocker. But like when I looked at it, I sat down and I looked at it and one judge scored, I think, what did I say to you? One judge scored the first round for Hermanson, one judge scored the third round for Hermanson, the two guys that scored them one round each. D'Amato gave him both those rounds and the fifth round, which the fifth round could have went either way. So people are saying it's shocking, but see, when you actually take a wee minute and sit and look into it, he gave Hermanson the two rounds. The other two guys did plus one extra. So it wasn't as much of a stretch as what you think. You and I looked at the stats today. We talked about it. The numbers are very close. So it probably wasn't a 49-46. Did Strickland win four or five rounds? Possibly. Did Hermanson win three or five rounds? Possibly. Did they come to the right decision in the end? I think so, sadly. I find Strickland very boring to watch, but I understand he's precise and I get that. But yeah, it was, as you say, I agree with you, mate. It was like, wasn't the best version of each guy. I felt Hermanson was, I was going to say gun shy, but that's not what I mean, because he was certainly thrown a lot. I just mean, I don't know, he just seemed a bit fear, maybe.
I don't know, but I don't think fear. I think that's maybe a bit dingy. I think maybe it was just, maybe the first few times that Strickland did connect with him, he realised the power maybe that Strickland's got, and maybe he was a wee bit wary of that and didn't want to get caught too much. As you say, I think they came to the right, we'll go back to the decision, obviously, Saul D'Amato. It's an interesting card, as you say. It wasn't a massive win for Sean Strickland. It wasn't, Sean Strickland goes out there and punishes Jack Hermanson for five rounds and totally dominates him and rips him to shreds. For me, it wasn't that. It was tight. It was cagey. I think Sean Strickland's strikes were more powerful, more accurate, done more damage, and that was eventually what got him the win. But again, it wasn't the best version of Sean Strickland, as I said. It wasn't the best Jack Hermanson. It was really disappointing in the end. I think from both fighters, and I think even both fighters said that at the end, that they weren't happy with either performance from themselves. So, but as I say, we got the right outcome in the end. Sean Strickland won the fight. He won the fight through accuracy and a bit of power, and that's really it. We're supposed to talk about MMA. We're supposed to make things sound interesting, but I'm kind of struggling with this fight to find the interesting talking points from it. I think straight away the fact that Hermanson couldn't get Strickland down in the first round, he's obviously going, oh shit, right. Would they have seven attempts in the first round to try and get him down?
It was something like seven over the fight, but I think most of them were the first round or two, yeah.
So as soon as he's done that, he's then got to think, well, I've got to go to another tactic, which is then using his striking. And he's decent on the feet. He's a decent all-round fighter, Jack Hermanson. That's probably the one thing you can say for Jack Hermanson. He is a good, decent all-round fighter. Decent jiu-jitsu, decent wrestling, decent striking. But he just couldn't live with Strickland's accuracy and timing and stuff like that in the end. And it was disappointing from that kind of point of view. I'm not saying I get bored during the fight, but I did a bit. I ended up finding myself doing something else or doing this or doing that. And it was just kind of...
I think... the only real talking point, right, is if you actually look at the numbers, Hermanson threw more than Strickland, right? Which is fine, that's probably what you'd expect, because Strickland didn't throw that many. But the averages probably aren't as far away as what you think. I mean, the percentages, Strickland landed 46, which I think is quite low considering how accurate he is, and Hermanson 38, so they're only like 8% apart. It's not a lot, really, when you think about it. When they're throwing 350 strikes each, that's really nothing. You know, the difference was like 17 strikes or something. It was nothing. So when you look at it like that, you think it was probably a lot closer than what you think. It was a hard watch, mate. It really was. It was a really hard watch.
Yeah, it was. As I said, it was difficult. I'd say the stats probably move back up to a point of view that maybe we think it was a wee bit closer than a lot of people gave it in the end. I definitely think that is the case. I think, as I say, Strickland won the fight. I'm not going to argue with that for a second. For me, Strickland probably did win the fight, and that's fine. I didn't see Hermanson winning it. Strickland did win it for me. Even going forward now, I don't know what it does for Sean Strickland. I know he was talking about Adesanya and all that, but I don't know if a performance like that's good enough to go right to Israel. I know obviously Brunson Cannoneers this weekend.
Yeah.
Possibly Strickland's got to go and face the winner of them to possibly see if...
Well, you would think the winner of that gets a shot at the winner of Adesanya Whitaker.
You would think so, but...
So then the loser of that fight, or the loser of Adesanya Whitaker, could fight Strickland.
But then did Brunson not fight Adesanya not long ago?
Yeah, but then...
No, that was 3 years ago. It was longer than I thought it was.
4 years ago, so 15, I think about, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of these, like, that's probably a number one contention, that fight, Cannonier and Brunson, if you think about it on paper, that's probably what you're expecting from that. So I would say the loser of that maybe fights. The loser of that's either going to fight the loser of Adesanya Whitaker or your man Strickland. Either way, none of it's really set up very good, if I'm honest. It's all messy.
No, there's nobody really. I think we've said this before, we're in this middleweight division. Nobody's really stood up and went, boom, give me that. I know, obviously, Whitaker's done it. Obviously, won his three fights to basically get back his title shot again. Fair enough. Probably deserves it just because of the three wins and because of where he is in the rankings. That's fair enough. I'm not going to argue with that for a second. But within the rest of it, there's nobody stood up and went, fuck, get me that. Obviously, Vittori had his couple of wins and stuff like that. And
he just fought for it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He got his shot and fucking that went tits up for him. And
if you look at it, right, Whitaker's just getting his shot. Vittori's just had his shot. Costa's just had his shot. Cannonier and Brunson are fighting each other. Hermanson's just got beat by Strickland. So it's either got to be the winner of Cannonier Brunson or Sean Strickland to get his title shot.
That's true.
So it's as simple as that, mate. It's, and I think the loser of that fight, because I don't imagine either Whittaker or Adesanya will want to fight Sean Strickland when they're off a loss, even if they're beaten by each other in the title fight. So I reckon the loser of Cannonier Brunson is probably what's next for Sean Strickland, I would think.
Yeah, there's a chance that's definitely the case. I think Sean definitely needs another fight under his belt to maybe prove that he maybe does deserve a shot, maybe beating the loser, maybe gets him that. I'm not sure. It's a strange division because even though, what if we'll also talk about it later on, if Whittaker then goes on and beats Adesanya, then we get the third fight. Do we look at fights outside the division for Adesanya and stuff like that? So there's a lot of talking points for it. But within Ford Hermanson and Strickland himself, yeah, I think probably the loser of Brunson can either fight Strickland and then Jack Hermanson. I'm not really sure what's next for Jack. I think Jack kind of, I don't know if he proved on Saturday was what we said he was, which is basically gatekeeper for the top five, but that kind of is how it looks.
I was hoping we were wrong, because I really love Jack Hermanson. You know me. I'm obsessed with Scandinavia, as I said last week. So he's like, I just like him. I think he's a good fighter, mate. I liked him because he was good when I first started watching it. You know, he had some great wins, 2 guillotines in a row against Branch and Mearshart. You know, that was back in the day when we started, you know, podcasting and stuff. So, like, he's always been somebody I've liked. But it does appear that he is, you know, I mean, he shot down Shabazzian. You know, Shabazzian had been beaten already by Brunson, but he then fully shut down that hype train, I would have said. So he's definitely up there in terms of like being as a gatekeeper. I was hoping we were wrong, but it turns out we obviously weren't. But
well, if you look at his last four,
I agree what you said earlier. Well,
there's that point.
I agree with you though about Strickland. Yeah, I don't think Strickland's done very much in terms of put himself forward for a title fight after that. Like, I don't know.
No, there's still not a big fight there for Strickland to even get his chance, do you know what I mean? So, definitely a big one to come for him.
Absolutely. What about the rest of this? I mean, there was some very good stuff on it. To be honest, this card I think was actually quite good. There was some stuff that was garbage, but there was some stuff that was very good.
Mate, there's some very, very good performances and some very, very, very good fights for me, I think. Possibly try to pick the bonuses were quite hard on Saturday night. Obviously, I think first of all, Shavkat Rakhmonov, I think he's the one you've got to look at first and go, fuck me, man, this guy is fucking ridiculous. Like, the spinning kick, field kick to the back of the kind of side of his head, or it kind of happened with his calf, but it knocked him over and then he finished it and just got the kill, man. It was just absolutely mental the way he done that.
He's something else, man. I know everybody's now talking about him versus Khamzat, which would be amazing.
I think we'll get that fight eventually. I don't think that'll be next, but I think we'll definitely get that fight eventually, without doubt.
Well, if they both continue on the trajectory that they're both going on, then it's bound to happen at some point. I mean, Rakhmonov's 15-0, and Chimaev's, what, 10-0, I think?
10 or 11,
so they're definitely bound. They're bound to fight each other at some point. Honestly, mate, like, Rakhmonov is scary.
He's only ever been in a third round once in 15 fights. He's finished all 15. Mate, that's just, oh man. What a man, what a fighter. Just an absolute,
you've got to,
superstar.
You've got to do it. It's the same with Khabib, mate. Look at them. They were Kazakhstan. Like, how good are these guys he's fighting? Do you know what I mean? How good are these guys he's fighting?
Okay.
I mean,
he's never been out the second round in his UFC career so far. Three fights. That's still pretty impressive.
Fine. I mean, the three guys he's beaten. Okay, I can't say I remember Carlston Harris, if I'm honest, but Alex Oliveira's a massive win, especially beating him with a choke. Michelle Prezeres, who's a machine, again, brilliant. So good to see him step up in competition. Let's see him get somebody, you know, maybe just outside that top 15.
Michel Pereira.
Yeah, I don't remember him at all, man. Do you remember him?
No, not really. I don't know how I don't remember him, because he only fought in fucking September last year. But yeah, I think
Andy had he had an anaconda choke. How do we not remember this guy? And he beat Kasanganai.
I don't know how we don't remember him, but it was an impressive win, without doubt. I think just the way he's doing it inside the first round was absolutely superb, superb, man. It was good to see, to be honest, for me anyway.
What else on this? Like, there was lots of good stuff. Did you see Bondar's arm?
That was fucked up, wasn't it? That was nice.
It was weird. It was like a pure weird thing. Like, it was almost as if Malcolm Gordon had popped it out, but nobody had really noticed until Bondar put weight on it, and the thing just gave way, and you were like, ugh! It was nasty.
That was nasty, mate. There was some great finishes on this fight right through, man. Right cut. Jailton Almeida here. There's actually three or four guys on this who I possibly could look at and go, I reckon I could see you fighting for a title. It could be one of those cards in years to come that you look back at and go, fuck's sake, how did he fuck? Was he on this? Wow, wow. And Almeida's was the first one that kind of gave me that impression. As soon as that finish was just sensational. That is just, yeah. That man is scary.
He's terrifying. He's no fat on him at all for a light heavyweight, mate. He's an absolute machine. It was unreal. Kind of young, though, as well. An up-and-comer, definitely a guy you can see. You know, just even his picture, man. His picture's just scary. Njikani as well, by the way.
Yeah, Chidi Bang, massive.
Or Chidi Bang. Marc-Andre Barrio is the toughest son of a bitch.
Well, that's why I actually picked Barrio to win the fight, thinking, I think he might sneak us some points just because he's so tough. I knew that Njikani was a bit of a knockout artist to start. She likes to knock people out for fun, but I thought Barrio was so tough that maybe this will just go the distance.
It's the first time Barrio's ever been finished.
Well, can I prove my point? Kind of what I was thinking about it, but that was pretty tremendous, mate. It was a tremendous finish for him inside 16 seconds, to be honest, mate. That was absolutely superb.
The second fastest debut ever.
Who's first?
I knew you were going to fuck me with that. I had to ask.
You made the point. I was going to ask. Was it Rodriguez, was it? Not Rodriguez, Hernandez.
I don't know, actually. It doesn't come up. It's weird. I read a thing that said he was... Oh, wait. Todd Duffy. 7 seconds.
Todd Duffy. Right, okay.
Yeah, way before our time, mate.
Yeah, that was a long time before we started watching this. Bobby Dillard, I thought he looked pretty good. I was disappointed to Trezano, though, I've got to say. Yeah.
I think Hakeem's just a different level, mate. I think Trezano just didn't know what to do. I wouldn't say I was really disappointed with Trezano. I just think Trezano just couldn't get going. I think Dawoodu's kickboxing and Muay Thai is just ridiculous, mate. He's very good, very good. He's definitely a threat, by the way, in that division. I would be amazed if he doesn't slowly start creeping up that 145. He is very good.
What I would say about him is I think he's improving every time I see him, to be honest. He's getting better. He's getting better every single fight, and I think that's what's so good to see. Obviously, I know he lost against Evloev, but if you lose against Evloev, there's no staying in that. There's no bad. That's not a bad loss to have in your record in any way, shape, or form. So to come back from that defeat and then go and beat Trezano, he's a decent fighter, Trezano, but he made him look poor, to be honest. And I think that's the best thing you can say about Dillard's performance for us. I feel like we could have a wee conversation of being on every fight here. Castaneda, I thought, was pretty good as well. I really liked his performance. Thought he looked legit. He looks like a right prospect.
Miles Jones looked a wee bit kind of rabbit caught in the headlights towards the end of that, I thought. A good, really solid performance from Castaneda. I was surprised at that. I thought Miles Jones would have got that done, but... What about, the Rosa thing, I mean, that was insane, utterly insane.
It's one of those ones you need to add to the book for later on in the year, mate. That was a fight of the year contender, without doubt.
Without doubt.
Tremendous, mate. It was an absolutely sensational fight, to be honest. Absolutely brilliant to watch. I would happily watch that again. Just get the two guys out this weekend, just sit them back in the cage, and we'll see what happens again, mate. It was brilliant.
Which, obviously, you and I obviously get quite strong opinions on the whole weight cutting thing, right? So they put on that amazing show, both of them, right? And Julian Arosa gets $100,000 because Stephen Pearson missed weight.
I think that's a bit harsh. Not harsh. Harsh isn't the right word. I don't know if Arosa deserved the $50,000 for that. The extra $50,000. I think taking off Peterson, that's fair enough. But nice. I think to then give it to Arosa as well as probably what does he get? Did he get 30%? He gets 30% of Stephen Peterson's purse as well. Fuck's sake, man. Julian Arosa made an absolute fucking fortune on Saturday night.
Do you not think what they could do, because they take 30% of the purse, could they not take 30% of the bonus?
Yeah, possibly.
Listen, I'm all for, you know, throwing the book at these guys for missing weight. Believe me, I am. You know my feelings on it, mate. I'm not one for mincing my words when it comes to this shit. But at the same time, I'm like, both of these guys did this. It wasn't just Julian Arosa that did it. And I think that's what kind of sticks in me a wee bit. It's a bit gutting.
No, I understand. Definitely. I'm not going to disagree with you regarding that. I think it's a wee bit gutting for Peterson not to get anything, to be involved in such a sensational fight and walk away with nothing. Just seems a bit harsh. Especially considering it could be a fight of the year contender at the end of the year. Do you know what I mean? It could definitely be in that conversation. Just having a quick... I was actually just trying to see if I could see the salaries there. So the likes of... Where is he? Stephen Peterson. $27,000 he get paid.
Minus 30% though.
Aye, so you get $9,000 to take off that. So you're probably lucky if he walks away with $30,000. Then you've got where is it? Julian Arosa. Julian Arosa was the highest paid man on Saturday night.
And because he went what? More than Hermanson to Strickland?
In the end, aye. Made $175,000. $30,000 to show. $30,000 win bonus, $9,000 for Stephen Peterson, $100,000 fight bonus, fight the night bonus, and then $6,000 fight week incentive pay. Mental, mate. Absolutely fucking mental.
Yeah.
So Julian Arosa is fucking set for the year at this moment in time, just partly because fucking Peterson missed weight, obviously. He made $60,000 off Peterson missing weight.
Yeah, just that's what I'm saying by being so unprofessional. This goes back to my statement every time, mate.
Anyway, a bit harsh, but anyway.
What about, I would like to know your opinion. I would like to see your face when I ask you this. What was your opinion on Maximo versus Soriano? A pure sigh, man. That was amazing.
I'm struggling for words. Look, Maximov done what he kind of had to do to win the fight. I wasn't overly impressed. I thought he did win the fight. I'm not going to argue at that point. I think I probably had him winning the fight. But it was. I don't know what to say. I don't see a 30-27. I thought 29-28 probably just to Maximov was fair. Neither fight I done enough to win the fight. Weirdly.
If it went either way, I wouldn't have been bothered. I was just, mate, I'm all for grappling, right? But not when there's just no point in that.
He was just grabbing his legs and holding on for dear life and hoping for the best.
What are you doing? Fuck all. I seen somebody put on Twitter, Russia, we have a Khabib. And I was like, are you, seriously, you believe that guy's like Khabib? Like, I was like, wow, man. No.
I wasn't overly impressed, I've got to say, man.
Any other special mentions on this before?
Just a quick one for Brendan Allen showing up 5 days' notice. I know he's only fighting Sam Alvey. I know that sounds harsh on Sam Alvey, but he's finished.
I was going to say, is this the end of Smiling Sam?
I would like to hope so, but something tells me he's got some pictures of Dana's.
I'd like to hope so. That's good, harsh, man.
it's so harsh, but at the same time, I don't want to see Sam Alvey in an octagon again, because I don't want to see him getting his, I was going to use a C word there, but you've given me a trouble a few times for that, getting his ass handed to him every single time he steps into that octagon, to be honest. Yeah. I can't be bothered seeing it anymore. I'm not interested in seeing it. For Brendan Allen, Brendan Allen is not a massive striker. He's very, very, very good on the ground, and he proved that obviously he's finished in the end. But for Brendan Allen to not get down like that, I just was... I'm not even going to go there with Sam Alvey. It just annoys me now, to be honest. It just gets in the way. Yeah. Actually gets in the way. Any words on the contender series proper final?
I was quite impressed.
I was quite impressed.
I wasn't sure. I thought Battle looked absolutely terrified at the start, but I think
Did you see Trezor and Gore?
Aye, but I think I thought Battle looked huge compared to Gore. I think Gore was like big arms, obviously all that power.
I thought Battle was bigger height wise and stuff. Ah, definitely.
I was really impressed.
I was impressed as well, mate. I was impressed with both fighters. I think. If it went either way as well, I wouldn't have been that fussed.
No. Again, I think Battle done enough. I think, I think if it went the other way, I think I'd have been a bit pissed off. I think Battle did more than enough to win it, to be honest. I was impressed, mate. I was impressed. I was impressed with Battle the first time as well. So it was good to see the actual final. But I didn't vaguely remember it. I was thinking about this on Saturday night or Sunday morning when I was watching this, right? And I'm sure... Although this is the actual final because Gore dropped out, I'm not sure these two guys were supposed to fight in the actual final, because I'm sure the guys they were fighting something like dropped out as well. But I'd need to look at it and see. I'm sure there was something stupid like that.
I don't know about you, but it was during this I was thinking about the fact that. Is this the first time these two names have got so much to do with fighting? Gore and Battle. There was just something about the two names and a fight that just fucking really resonated with me. I quite liked that. Is this the two most fighting names coming together, basically, that I've ever seen?
Yeah. It's amazing. Gore and Battle. It'd have been great if he had fucking Gordom or something, man. That would have been brilliant.
I just really liked the fact that it had a Gore and a Battle in there. I thought that was quite good. Anyway.
Something like, I'm just having a look now. I was just trying to see because there was something, I'm sure somebody was like, I can't see it, but anyway, I'm sure there was something that said that basically one of them had like missed, wasn't actually due because like somebody had actually fallen out of it or something, but I could be wrong. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Happy way. Hermanson Strickland?
Delighted, mate. It was not a bad wee night. Apart for the main event. And the co-main event.
Yeah, it was the two most disappointing fights were the last two. Okay. Moving swiftly on. And I don't know how the hell this has happened, but this has creeped up on us quite quickly. Obviously, we have a pay-per-view this week, which I just feel as if is almost like kind of flown under the radar. This is a massive, massive fight and a massive, massive deal. In general, this, I think, and it just seems to have totally crept under the radar. There's been all this talk about Ngannou, then there was all this talk, obviously, about Hermanson Strickland this week, Strickland being a bit of a madman and all the videos about him. That this is just, do you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, it's totally, like, flown under the radar that this is happening on Saturday.
I think maybe because of where the first fight went as well, I think it's a wee bit understated. I think there's a lot of people excited for it for obvious reasons. The likes of myself, I think, because Adesanya kind of obviously finished Whittaker, but was inside the second round, wasn't it? Pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the first round. I know, obviously, Whittaker probably deserves his chance after that, but I wasn't overly bored with seeing the fight again. Weirdly, usually somebody finishes somebody pretty quickly, getting them back into the fight doesn't happen very often. But because of how Whittaker's performed over these last few fights, it's understandable why the fight has been made again.
It was like two and a half years ago, mate.
I understand that, but it doesn't matter if it was 6, 7, 8 years ago. Sometimes you just won't see somebody fight again. If you find somebody inside the first round or the second round, you don't always get that fight back.
Mm. I think the two guys are very at the top of their game though, so I think it was always bound to happen.
Well, I'm not doubting that Israel Adesanya is the number one best middleweight and Robert Whittaker is by miles ahead the second best middleweight.
Yeah.
It was just one of those ones, because of the way the first fight won, I wasn't desperate to see it again, but there's no doubt that Robert Whittaker does deserve the fight again. I think from that point of view, maybe it's flown a wee bit under the radar, but at the same time, because of the Ngannou-Gann thing, I think as well, at the start of the year, there was so much hype about that. And it's only, 3 weeks ago that fight was? That's not long between numbered events. Usually you get two or three fight nights between events, and we've not had that this time. We've had one fight night.
But we had a week off.
Yeah, but you don't get that build-up. You don't get that TV coverage of the box office event coming up. I mean, the pace of going up.
It's still awfully quick. It's still very quick, to be honest with you. I totally agree. I think that's why it snuck up on us. I haven't actually really looked at much of this, to be honest, as well, which is kind of like I'm looking at it now and kind of being like, wow, there are some really, really good stuff on this.
It's a very, very good card, actually, mate. I'm actually quite looking forward to it. There's some very, very good fights on it. There's some outstanding stuff, to be honest, for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, the stuff all over it, like even things like Hackbrass versus Bobby Green, that's crazy.
Man, what a fight to open the main card. That should be a really, really good fight, man. I'm really looking forward to that.
Even like who was the one that caught my eye? Obviously Alex Perez versus Nat Schnell, but we kind of talked about that because it was scheduled for Barboza Chikadze and it got changed. But Alexander Hernandez versus Renato Moicano, that's disgusting.
That is on the pre-prees.
That'll be the first fight on the prelims.
No, it's the pre-prees. If you look on UFC's website, it's pre-prees.
Is it?
There's six fights in the pre-prees.
Wow.
That's not even the headliner of the pre-prees. The headliner of the pre-prees is Manny Manhattan Martinez versus Ronnie Lawrence. I don't understand what Alex Hernandez and Renato Moicano have done.
I can't get over this, man.
I don't understand how that is not at least a headliner for the prelims for me, to be honest.
You look at who's beat him, right? Moicano, right? He's got four losses on his record. What here? Who's beat him?
Go for it.
Ortega, Aldo, Zombie, and Fiziev. Like four absolute killers, man.
I know.
Absolute killers.
He's always ran into that one guy that just gets in his way or stuff and stuff like that.
This guy's a top 10 featherweight in the UFC, mate, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
He's now fighting a lightweight, hasn't he? Moved up, obviously.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That was my point I was going to make. He is a top 10 featherweight, but felt obviously he had to go up. I'm so buzzing for this, mate. Like, I'm so buzzing for that fight. That should be on the main card. I'm sorry, but it should be.
That's the one fight I'm going to ask Carl, going, why is that so far down?
He's fought a lightweight for a while, by the way.
I know, he's fought there for the last couple of years.
Four, aye.
There's some really good stuff on actual prelims as well. Obviously, Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell is a very, very good fight as well. That should be good. Even William Knight versus Matt Grayson should be that decent, man, as well. We've obviously got Scotland's very, very, very own. Nobody else is having her. Casey O'Neill. Ending Roxanne Modafferi's career quite literally.
Aye, just closing that chapter quite firmly.
So we've got that on the prelims, and obviously Big Arlovski's headline in the prelims, the big man.
Love it.
Still fighting at 49 years of age, whatever it is.
There's bangers all over this. Obviously, we've not even talked about the co-main, Big Ty versus Derek. That's just. You know what I really hope? My hope for that fight is, right? Do you know what my hope is for that fight?
Go.
I would love it to go to decision. It won't, right? I know I could bet my house and my car, my wife, my family, everybody. I could bet you. I could bet a wee man. Everything I love in this world, I could bet on Derek Lewis, Tyrese Russell not going. But I want it to go full three rounds so the both of them can stand in the octagon and do a shoey together, because I think it would be absolutely incredible.
That would be class. As you said, but I don't think there's a chance in hell that survives maybe even the second round. They're not even seen a third round. Maybe the first round. Maybe we'll get out in the first round, but I do not see it getting out of the second round. There is no way. I think that'll probably be the shortest odds of any fight on this card being a knockout for basically the guy. That's going to be one of these fights that literally they both throw right hooks at the same time. They both end up fucking flouting their back at the same time. I'd love to see that once. And I think this could be a weird fight that fucking happens because they hit so hard, man. It's fucking unbelievable. So
yeah, it's a bit kind of crazy, man, to be honest. But it's that's certainly an interesting fight. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be just fun just for the sake of it. Yeah, honestly, mate, there's wee things all over this card that are class. So it should be a really, really good night, hopefully.
Yeah, it's basically the kind of... Obviously, you can hear Brunson, as I said, it was earlier on. We're basically kind of talking about this as a number one contenders fight. Obviously, if something was to happen to, say, Whitaker or anything like that in the run-up, I'd imagine one of these guys will drop into that position and fight for the title.
Here's a question for you, right? Whitaker falls in the shower on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, snaps his leg in 3, 4, 5, 6 places, whatever, right? Who do you give it to?
You've got to probably give it to the guy that's eyeing up the rankings.
Which is?
Cannoneer.
I don't think Cannoneer's had a shot, has he?
No. He's not. He's the one guy in that division, I think, who hasn't actually fought Adesanya at any point.
Him and Till and Hermanson and Strickland.
Okay, there's more than what I thought.
I know. I get your point. In the first like top 5, 6, he's probably the only one that hasn't fought him other than Anthony. I get that. Yeah.
So yeah. If Robert Whittaker falls away or falls out and something was to happen or there's a COVID situation, because obviously these things are still going on at this moment in time, I would imagine Jan and Cannonier will be the first one to get that call, and Derek Brunson will just need to lump it and like it because there's nothing they can do about it.
I know you're a massive Adesanya fan, right?
Uh-huh.
I know you are, and I'm not going to make you say that you don't think he's going to win, but is there a wee part of you that would like to see Rob win it properly?
I'm not overly fussed, no,
because I think you always seemed like you kind of had a wee thing for Whittaker. Whenever I used to bash him, you used to kind of talk me down because I was a big kind of, I wasn't a massive fan of Whittaker because I still maintain he never won it. He was given it. He won the interim belt, which is fine, but it's not the same thing. And you always used to be like, ah, oh, no, he's decent, you know, this. I just wondered if there was a part of you that would like to see him hold it. I think there's a part of me that would like to see him hold it. I think he's the kind of guy I like. He's the kind of fighter I like where he's wholesome. He's no much trash talk, just concentrates on the fighting, family man, looking after, doing all that stuff. And I think that's the kind of guy I like. But I've never been a massive fan of him, but I think I'd love to see as he gets smashed, but that's a different thing altogether. But I just wonder from your point of view if there's any party that I just wouldn't mind seeing Whittaker win it.
I think if this was to be a sensational fight and it maybe goes to decision and then it ends up Whittaker winning it that way, then yeah, that fair enough. I'd be happy if Whittaker won it because maybe it would allow us to see a third fight.
Yep.
But I don't have an overriding desire to go and see Robert Whittaker win that title. It doesn't, you know what, I'm an Izzy fan, I always have been. I just love his style, I love the way he fights. I love sometimes cockiness, sometimes a bit too much, no need for that. But I just love that kind of side of Israel Adesanya. And for me, there's not many better in the UFC, to be honest, than him. There's a few of them, I would deny that for saying, because he isn't a sensational all-round mixed martial artist, as was proven against Big Jan. Yeah. He proved that he doesn't maybe have certain aspects to his game that are good enough to do certain things. So, I want Israel to win. I'm going to deny that for a second. Can I see what I can win? I'd be surprised, but you never know, I think, if Israel keeps it at distance and just keeps things at range and doesn't let Whittaker get inside, then he's just too big and too lanky, Israel, to allow Whittaker inside to probably use the skill set he has to use. And if he does maybe try and jump in and tries to get close, there's always a chance that Israel will just catch him and do what he did in the first fight. And I think that's probably the biggest concern for Whittaker. it's how he gets inside and he makes, he basically, he gets not hold of Adesanya, but he gets to actually punch Adesanya, as bad as it sounds. If he can get inside that distance, then well, you give him a chance. He's knocked people out in his past, do you know what I mean? So there's no doubt maybe he could do that Izzy again. I know Izzy hasn't been knocked out very often in his combat sports career. Obviously, he's never been knocked out in his fucking MMA career. Obviously, he's been knocked out, I think, about twice or something. In fact, there's a man within the... but was he knocked out? Aye, Alex Pereira. I knew there was somebody. I was looking at his record there, on his kickboxing record, and I couldn't find it there. He's one of the only guys that have actually knocked him out. So he has been knocked out before. It is possible. But whether or not you can actually do that is a different matter. But he could win it in points, Whitaker. Maybe he'll take a leaf out of Jan Bahut, Big Jan's book, and try and get him down and maybe try and grind it out that way. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see what Whitaker's game plan is on Saturday night, to be honest.
I think that's probably, you know, the way it will be, you know. So I think that's right. But hey, listen, that is what it is. We shall see.
It should be good. It should be a class fight. It looks like a really, really good card, and I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest, man. It should be good. It's always good when you get a pay-per-view. You always get that wee bit of extra energy and that wee bit of extra buzz in it as well. So looking forward to it.
Cool. Anything else to add before we swiftly move on?
No, I don't think so. I think that's me for the UFC 271, my man.
Okay. Before I move on, there's one championship on this weekend, headlined by none other than John Lineker, fighting Bibiano Fernandez for the featherweight championship. I thought it was interesting because obviously John Lineker hits like a truck. He's obviously had a decent run out at one championship. His fight was made in December, got cancelled because of COVID, so he's now getting a chance to get that belt from Bibiano. It'd be a good fight, to be honest. There's also an interim heavyweight title fight between Anatoly Malkin and Kirill Grishenko. One Belarusian, one Russian, both undefeated. And I'm pretty sure Anatoly Malkin was a guy I looked at last year when he knocked out Al-Akbari in the first round. It was fucking mental. So yeah, a couple of fights there. There's other stuff on it. There is some Muay Thai as well. But it looks like a decent actual week out, to be honest with you.
Your big Norwegian dudes on it.
Which one?
Thomas Narmo.
Oh, so it is, the big heavyweight. Who was big he? Was heavy. He not? Was he?
He lost.
He was fighting.
He fought in Ngannou, wasn't he? That was a ground kick one. I remember that now.
The no contest. He's went away and obviously fought somewhere else, got beaten, has come back now. So hopefully he gets another chance. Listen, he's like 6'10" or something, man. It's ridiculous. 6'7". That's just not right. Byron Goyen's fighting on this card. There's a few names on it. It's a pretty decent card for them. It's pretty good. So yeah, should be good. The only other thing I want to mention before we move on, Jussi Formiga.
Right? Yeah, I've seen he was back LFA this weekend.
So he's beat the current bantamweight Bellator champion. He's beat the current flyweight UFC champion, and he's fighting an LFA this weekend. There's something about that just doesn't sit particularly right with me. And I know he's a wee bit older and he hasn't fought in like almost a couple of years, probably about 20 months or something, which is fair enough, but it just seems a bit of a shame that a guy with that kind of record and those kind of wins, okay, granted his last three in the UFC, Benavidez, Moreno, Perez, they're no bad losses, to be fair. Moreno was the champ, Benavidez is a legend, and Alex Perez is, well, he's hit and miss, but he's still a top tenner. So it just seems a bit of a shame really for me that he's, do you know what I mean?
It could have been just timing with him, to be honest, okay, but a case of he was just at the end of his contract. I can't remember what happened with Formiga. If that was the case, maybe he just get the last day three losses right at the end of his contract, and he was just unfortunate in that respect that the UFC went, well, maybe you're just in your way down, pal, and maybe you're not coming back up that hill anytime soon. Because what is he, 36? He's not the oldest, but he's not the youngest either.
I was just going to say that. just when I seen it and then looked at his record, I thought it's a bit of a shame, man. Like, I'm not saying the UFC should have kept him. I just, he took 18 months off or 20 months off, almost 2 years, and ends up fighting LFA. It just seems a bit of a drop for a guy of his caliber, mate. You know what I mean? So, but it was just something to mention, just a bit on Jussie Formiga. Okay, Mark's favourite time of the show. It's time for the news.
Right, shall we? I don't know how to start that, but right, I'll just go with whatever I go with.
See, of all the things we've done, right, since the very start of started, is that the one you hate most?
What? Just that new thing that we have to do, and then me trying to introduce you? Yeah, I fucking hate every second of it, but it was your idea, so we went with it.
I think it sounds quite good, man. For anybody that doesn't know, right, that jingle is relatively new, right, that news jingle. And I've been trying to talk Mark into that for about a year, and I couldn't do it, and then I done it anyway, and I absolutely love it. I think it's great. I think it's just something a bit stupid and a bit funny, and Mark hates it. So it makes it even better for me because he hates it, and I absolutely love it.
Aye. So
anyway, sorry, on you go.
Thanks very much, mate. So I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a lot on this week. There's not a lot of news at all. Few bits and pieces, few announcements. We will start with arguably the worst fight announcement I've ever seen in the history of sport. And a fight that I think I might need to make sure I don't watch it, because I think I just don't want to watch this fight. Alexei Oleinik will fight Ilir Latifi at UFC Columbus. I don't want to see them fight other guys, and I mean see them fight each other. It's just horrendous, mate. That is just, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
Right, move on.
Anyway, your man's back.
Which one is Hunters?
Alexander Gustafsson.
Ah, yes, when?
May 21st.
Oh, good. My birthday weekend. Must have known.
Legend. He will be fighting. This is really disappointing as well.
Oh, for fuck's sake. God, come on, don't leave me hanging. Come on.
Ben Rothwell.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Wait, at heavyweight?
At heavyweight. Big man's done. He's not done it. Heavyweight, he's back at heavyweight.
Because I didn't enjoy the heavyweight fight last time, if I'm honest with you.
Me neither. And something tells me I'm not going to enjoy this either. I know I've really started in some down slopes there, and to be honest, it doesn't get much better. But that, I was disappointed. I went, oh, Big Gus is back, you fucking beauty. Who's he fighting? Ben Rothwell. Oh, for fuck's sake, why is he fighting? Why? Anyway.
Yeah, okay, thanks for telling me that. I really appreciate that.
Well, I thought you'd want to know. It's your man. It's the man that got you into the sport and all that jazz, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I couldn't understand that one. Anyway, as I said, there's not a lot on this one. We've got Holly Holm versus Caitlin Vieira. That will headline that exact card, May 21st. So we'll have that fight that night. I'd imagine that possibly could be Vieira's chance to maybe get a title shot if she beats Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Wait and see what happens there. Talking about a title shot, Peña and Nunez will serve as the Ultimate Fighter 30 coaches. Extremely disappointed in that, to be honest.
I've got no words, by the way.
See, when you've got a fight, like when you've got the likes of Covington Masvidal coming up, can you imagine the banter and the fucking back and forth and that? Make them the coaches. That would have been fucking hilarious television. It would have been absolutely sensational.
Just, I have no words, mate.
It's a bit disappointing, to be honest. That one is a bit disappointing. Ian Garry, I don't think I've said this one before. He's fighting Darren Weeks at UFC 273, April 9th. Yes. Obviously had a first round win over Jordan Rounds at 268 last year. Weeks lost a unanimous decision to Brian Barberena in December last year as well. So Ian Garry will be on this card fighting him. So Should be a decent wee fight for Gary anyway. And we'll finish on a bit of one championship.
Go for it.
Rene de Ridder will defend his middleweight belt at One Full Circle event on February 25th against Kamaryn Abasov.
Okay. Nice.
So, Abasov is the current welterweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be moving up to become and try and become a two-division champion.
So I say it again.
Abasov will step up from welterweight to fight the Ridder for the middleweight belt.
Okay.
So he'll be looking to become a two-division champion. I honestly think they should just make it for all three belts and just see what happens.
How do that though?
How? Dating boxing all the time.
Aye, but it's two. They don't do it for the same weight class though. Different weight classes.
I know, that's a different weight class, what I'm saying, but they do it for different weight classes in boxing.
Not at the same time, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
How can you do that if they weigh in at the weight?
Because you always weigh in at the higher weight weight class, I'm sure. So say the fight's at 135, you fight for the 135 and the 125 belt at the same time.
No wonder boxing's fucked.
Well, that is very true. But I think that would be quite good to do, to be honest. I think it'd be quite interesting. Aye, well, that's me, mate. I thought David Branch will fight on that if you're really interested. But apart from that, that's me. The news really was pretty poor this week. David Branch, you heard David Branch.
Wow, nice. I see Angla Sang's fighting on that against the guy with probably one of the best surnames in all of MMA.
I just noticed that. It's a Vitaly Big Dash.
Big Dash. That's fucking amazing. That's probably his real name as well. That's amazing, man.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. Big Dash. Oh, that's tremendous.
That's class. Alrighty. That you then?
That's me, mate. As I said, there wasn't a lot happening this week. There's a few announcements, but nothing to...
Oh, you forgot the big news.
Was it a mess?
From last Wednesday.
What? Oh, aye. Aye, we've got UFC London, people.
Yeah, we're making the trip. Well, we were making the trip anyway.
We'll go to London.
But yeah, we managed to get tickets. I know there was a big fiasco with the tickets and stuff like that. I've heard some horror stories, but I hope everybody gets a ticket who wants to go. I really do. It'll be class. I can't wait for the good atmosphere. But yeah, we've got tickets and we're going to make the trip. So yeah, look out for us.
Buzzing at work tickets for that, aren't they?
Yeah, can't wait, man. London looks class. So, yeah.
It's just getting better and better as well, man. I think there are a couple of fights to get announced on that, because I don't think it's quite a full card. So
Jake Hadley get taken off it because he withdrew.
Did he? Oh, that's a point.
I know, I was looking forward to seeing Jake, but he's been pulled. So, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Anyway, hopefully there's still a couple of fights to be added to that, but I don't know what it'll be. It'll be interesting to see. It's only less than 5-6 weeks away or something, so there's not far about it at all.
Yeah.
It'll fly on.
Alrighty. Oh, wait. No, hold on.
What?
There's nothing on Topology,
was it? What? Adler? No, he's still on the card.
I'm sure I've seen it on Twitter. Not on Instagram, mate.
Maybe it has, maybe they just not updated it. Topology, obviously. Topology's not exactly.
And when you Google them, there's no news about it, though.
Who knows, my man? Who knows?
I'm sure I've seen that. I need to confirm that for next week, but anyway. Right, okay. Thank you, Mark, for your news. And thank you to you, lovely lot, for listening. We do always appreciate it. Get us on the socials at Inside Cage MMA, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as I keep asking every week, please, 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 can you give us a rating on Spotify if you listen there? We would very much appreciate it. If you don't listen there, why not? Go and do it. Don't listen anywhere else. Listen on Spotify. And yeah, listen. Have a good one. We'll catch you next time.